This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Tuesday, May 17th. Well, we had a big day up in the wheat markets yesterday following the announcement from India that they were halting all wheat exports. There were some exceptions. They did say for food security purposes that they would allow some exports. They've already exported about 3 million tons, and it looks like they secured a contract with Egypt for 500,000 tons over the weekend. So while they're sort of shutting down exports, they are still going to move some wheat out of the country. But by and large, I think that it'll be very little, and it'll probably be just regional countries that take any. So that was enough to propel the market higher. We gapped higher following that announcement, and then markets held well throughout the day. We ended up limit up pretty much across all the front months. So that would suggest that, you know, that would say that we're going to have expanded limits today. And in fact, we did open higher on the night session. We gapped higher again, but that was pretty much the high of the day. And then as the night session wore on, markets started to pull back, and then we really started to get some acceleration to the downside right about in the middle of the night. So now, you know, coming out of the night session, we're down about 30 cents in Kansas City. Minneapolis is down about 10 cents. Chicago's down around 20 cents. So the market is giving us a big outside day lower already. So I think if I had to, you know, make a guess as to what's going to happen here, I would say that today has already stamped the high. And giving, you know, the market selling off, giving us an outside day lower. Now, maybe all we're going to do is just fill the gap from yesterday and the market take another run at the top. But I think just the mere fact that people are willing to step up and sell the market in front of all this bullish news, I think, is telling us something. I think it's also important to point out that the news stories, the news wires, whether it's your mainstream media or all the offshoots, you know, it's all over social media. It's all over the news wires about the shortage of wheat, India banning exports, that, you know, the Black Sea creating a shortage of wheat worldwide, high food prices. It's all over the news. And it's almost a guarantee when you see this coming into the news wires and mainstream, and when it's all over and everybody's talking about it, that's your top. And today's price action giving us another gap higher but failing and already giving us an outside day lower, I think is another indication of a top. I think we're seeing it. This is the culmination of the acceleration and the blow-off type of price action that we're looking for to confirm a high. And I think you need to wrap up any old crop sales that you've got if you still have anything left to sell. You know, get more aggressive about pricing new crop and get sales more on the books for 2023, 2024, however far out you can go. I think this is going to end up being a long-term high. I think we'll see a correction into harvest, probably mid-June, and then we'll start another leg up. Whether it just comes back to test these highs or we see yet more highs, it just remains to be seen what kind of crop we get. It's also worth pointing out that in Europe that there is quite a bit of rain in the forecast. Now, they've been dry, the crop is stressed, but it's still relatively early in the growing season. So these rains are critical, but they are calling for widespread heavy rains across France, Germany, UK, Italy, Poland. So all of these major wheat areas that have been so dry, almost all of them look to get a pretty good shot of rain. So I think that too is stalling out the bullish price action. The key, of course, still is wheat, the Black Sea issue there. Everybody's well aware of it. I think that Russia, it sure looks like they're going to cut just a bin buster crop. The question is, what are they going to be able to do with it? They're going to leak a lot of that out. You know, they'll find a way to sell it. And with the tight supplies around the world, they're going to find a lot of buyers. That said, Egypt turned away a vessel here over the weekend of wheat that they say was Ukraine wheat that had been stolen by Russia. The shipment did not have any loading documents, didn't have any shipping documents. It didn't have any buy-sell agreements, any contracts on it. So Russia trying to pawn off wheat on a country that they know typically buys wheat from Russia. But, you know, we had heard about Russia stealing Ukraine wheat, and that's not a big surprise that they would do that. But at least we're seeing some pushback from countries, and countries that, you know, arguably kind of need the wheat, but they're not buying it. And kudos to Egypt for doing that. But Russia, nevertheless, is still moving wheat. It looks like they exported about 2.2 million tons during April, according to Sovicon. And Sovicon is also estimating that the May exports will be right around 1.0 million tons. That will take their year-to-date marketing year exports at 28.2 million tons. Their export quotas will last till the end of the marketing year, which is the end of June. So as we get into the new crop, they're going to have a lot of carryover from last year because of the sanctions. And then, of course, this huge crop coming on, they're going to be looking at a mountain of wheat that they're going to want to sell. I think that's an important thing to keep in mind. If the war were to end, or if they were to find a way to move a lot of this wheat to the export channels, that's going to pressure wheat. They, you know, they're a major exporter. They're the world's largest wheat exporter, and they've got a huge crop coming on. So some way or another, this wheat is going to leak out of the country. And I think we need to keep in mind that that's going to, I think, help keep some of the bullish enthusiasm at bay. Now, feed grain supplies are going to remain tight. We're hearing some issues of cold weather coming into Brazil. Frost warnings, we haven't seen them yet, but obviously if you got a frost this early, that would shave away some yield on top of a crop that already has had some pressure on it because of dryness through the key pollination period. So Brazil, while they'll probably cut a decent-sized corn crop, it's not going to be a huge one. And that will help to support feed grain prices around the world, which continues to keep wheat elevated to keep it out of the feed grain channel. Crop condition ratings were out yesterday afternoon. Looks like the market deteriorating again. So it's been back and forth. There's not been a consistent direction for the condition ratings so far this year. And we're pretty much getting to the point where it doesn't matter anymore. But for Texas, we're at 81% poor to very poor, which is just an eye-popping number. I mean, it's been huge all year long, but 81% poor to very poor, which is up 4 from last week. Good, they only had 5% good, nothing in the excellent, and that was down 2. We're at 86% headed, which is 4 points behind the average. In Oklahoma, 52% poor to very poor, that was up 5. 13% good to excellent was down 7. 78% headed, 13 points behind the average. In Kansas, 41% poor to very poor, that was up 4 on the week. 24% good to excellent was down 4. 60% is headed. It's actually 2 points ahead of the average. In Colorado, we're 45% poor to very poor. That was down 13. 19% good to excellent was up 8. So Colorado is seeing a pretty big jump in their condition ratings. 6% headed is down 9 from the average. In Nebraska, we're 31% poor to very poor, unchanged. 28% good to excellent, down 5. 10% headed is down 1. In Montana, 32% poor to very poor is down 7. 11% is good, which is down 2. We're at 1% headed, which is 1 point ahead of the average. Spring wheat plantings are at 39%. That's 28 points less than the average. In Montana, we're 70% planted. That's 20 points ahead of last week and 4 points ahead of the average. But North Dakota is a completely different story. They are at 17% planted, which is up 9 on the week, but down 43 from the average. Corn plantings also running behind. We're at 49% planted. That's 18 points behind the average, but up 27% from last week. North Dakota's at 4% planted, 41 points behind the average. Iowa's at 57% planted. That is 23 points behind the average. Illinois at 55% planted, 15 behind the average. Minnesota 35% planted, that is 37 points behind the average. And soybean plantings at 30% is 9 points behind the average. So you would think that would be supportive, but I think the pressure in wheat is spilling over. Corn is down too as we're coming out of the night session. but it's been down quite a bit more than that. It's running about, you know, 10 points off the low, and pretty much on its high for the night session. So corn and beans still have some work to do, I think, on the upside. You know, front month corn has not tested the high from a few weeks ago. I think that that's still in play. The back months have, and we seem to be stalling out at those highs. I think the issue with corn is once it gets planted, then the new crop, I think, becomes more stable. It's old crop that, you know, we're relying on a fairly big Brazilian crop to fill the gap from, you know, July onward until new crop for the United States hits the pipeline in at the earliest September. But if Brazil's running into some shortfalls, that's going to be an issue. And I think feed grain prices continue to push higher, especially with hard red winter wheat conditions dropping, production dropping, and basis soaring to keep wheat out of the feed channel. So we're seeing corn basis pushing sharply higher too across much of the central plains. Feedlots took a lot of wheat last year off the combine because corn prices were already so high. Well, that's going to not happen. Wheat is going to protect its supply base from the feed grain channel, so that keeps corn prices higher. So I see the bull spread starting to work again for corn, with old crop gaining on new crop. Now, that's taken quite a hit over these last couple days, but I think that will reemerge as a leader here. And with wheat, I just, you know, the market is most, we're most bullish at the top, and it's very, very bullish in wheat. India was kind of the last unknown that suddenly emerged as an unknown, for that matter. We expected they would be exporting 10 or 11 million tons of wheat, and now maybe 3 to 4, and that's kind of it, which has already been factored into the market. I just don't see a lot of new stuff coming at wheat. We're assuming that Ukraine is going to be largely absent from the market for quite a while. Russia will figure out a way to move wheat. Weather is getting to the point where it doesn't matter in the southern and central plains. And in Europe, we've got rain on the way. So I just think that we're forging a top here. And it could turn out to be a long-term top, but at least it will be an intermediate-term top. We'll get that harvest pressure. And then I think we start moving higher again into the fall. Unless the war ends, and unless Putin's gone, unless the sanctions drop. But either way, you know, we're building up quite a supply that's not available, if you will, to the market in the Black Sea. But eventually it will become available to the market. It's going to be like a dam bursting when that happens. So I think wheat is, I think at best, we've got another rally coming later in the fall, until you get the Southern Hemisphere market in the pipeline. But for now, I think we are forging a high, and it's important to take advantage of these prices and get some hedges on, get some sales booked, and prepare for at least an intermediate-term sell-off. If you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.